Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today we are talking about biohacking.
Biohacking? It sounds so sinister.
No. No. You know what actually it made me think of when I knew I was going to be doing this with you was when we did the movie podcast together and we did the episode on Ghost in the Shell and talked about hacking into a geisha.
Into a geisha.
Yes. It's not that. It's not that either.
But doesn't it sound sinister? Like, you know, like somebody's going to hack into your biology somehow?
It sounds almost... not old, but in the same way you think about like the environmental movement now, but of the 70s, It feels like we're that far removed from an idea of biohacking. Like we've gone like 30, 40 years into the future and somehow we're looking back at those early 2000s talking about biohacking. I don't know why.
We've jumped in our time machine and moved forward in time or backward in time. I'm not sure.
And yet I still don't have a flying car.
I don't think you're going to get a flying car. I don't know.
No.
I feel like you're not.
I'm gonna flying car hacking. That will be a future topic as we come back from our time traveling. But anyways, so biohacking, as the name might suggest, refers to hacking into your biology.
Again, sounds scary.
Well, I mean,
I'm picturing it literally.
You are
like
you
someone must with a computer who's hacking into my biology.
Oh, I thought you were picturing like hacking with an axe.
Oh no,
which is
gross.
Worse.
No, I'm just picturing like somehow you could get into my biology with your computer and alter my DNA or
right.
Something. I don't know.
No, I like life hacks. Like, you know,
okay.
How okay. You hack everything nowadays.
Yes, you do.
We're at that era. So
I should know that, yeah.
Why shouldn't we get with it, Sarah?
I'm old. It's okay.
So, of course, you should presumably also be able to hack your body, even though that's not. But yeah, anyways.
Right.
So essentially, it's using what we know about science and our bodies to make changes to our health and get different results. In the most simplistic terms, it can refer to an approach to scientific learning that includes building or changing things quickly and monitoring what happens. Mm. So this is actually sort of just a fancy term, it seems, for guess and check, health-wise.
Trying different things and seeing how your body
right,
reacts.
Exactly.
Throwing things to the wall and seeing what sticks.
Right. I was like, wait, that's it. And we'll talk a little bit later because biohacking does actually have like two or three different camps that are all sort of trying to say we're biohacking and what those other people are doing or something differently. But for the purpose of this podcast regarding health and wellness biohacking is the try it and see if it works sort of thing.
Okay.
So.
Well, I guess we all kind of do that on a regular basis then, maybe.
Maybe. But like it goes beyond the idea, even though I actually kind of like this idea, that health is simply just, you know, eating less and exercising more.
Right.
I'm like, but why can't it just be simple? Is there an unhackable way to be healthy?
Well, if somebody tries to give you that miracle pill, run away.
Right.
That, I don't think so, but.
But now I want to know what's like the absolute reverse of biohacking.
I can't come up with a good, like,
right?
Clever, witty phrase, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of slovenliness.
Like, I'm trying to even think of, like, my Latin roots. Like, what would be the opposite of bio? Is life, so the opposite is death, which is mort, unhacking?
Unhacking your death?
Yeah, let's do that one. I like that as well. But no, for biohacking.
That'll be next week's podcast.
Right. It's sort of considering the different inputs and then seeing what the output is and then changing. But this sounds to me kind of tiring.
It sounds like a science project.
It can be that. I am a science project.
You do your project, you track your results, you see what's working, what's not working, and then you change your approach.
Oh, now I wonder if I could have done that for school. Could I have been my own science project?
Maybe. It depends on how you presented it to your teacher.
We all had to do one, and I got the blue ribbon 2 years in a row, but it wasn't like the blue ribbon, a blue ribbon, I should say, because everyone got some sort of ribbon. I got a blue ribbon 2 years in a row, and then my third year, I got a red ribbon, and I was sad.
Oh.
It wasn't as good as my other ones, and I'm sorry.
What grades were you in when you did science projects?
Third, fourth, and fifth.
Okay, because I was either in fifth grade or sixth grade. It's hard to remember because I had the same teachers for fifth and sixth grade.
Right.
And I did something about the weather. I tracked the weather for however long. It was very boring.
You should have tracked yourself.
I should have, but I didn't know.
That might have still been boring, so who knows?
Yeah, I didn't know.
I want someone now, please, listeners, if you do this, to somehow convince your teacher for your science project that you're going to biohack yourself and get them to go along with that. And please tell me what the results are.
I bet somebody already has in some way. Maybe they didn't call it biohacking, but I bet they did something.
Right. This feels like the Ferris Bueller of science projects. Like a Ferris Bueller could totally get away with this somehow.
Yes.
But anyways, so anytime you sort of change anything about your health routine, that's essentially biohacking. And I just don't have the patience for this.
Okay.
Well, if I'm trying to like do something, like even just to find like a regular exercise form to be like, okay, so I don't like the gym. So let me try this other. I don't like running. It's like after like the third thing, I'm just like, maybe it's me.
Which Stacey, is the maybe opposite. It's you.
Well, that's the opposite idea of biohacking because most people would do that. Like we talked about when we talked about the sleep episode that part of what might keep you from sleeping well is if you have an old mattress. Mm-hmm. But for most people, it might just be like, oh, I get up in the morning and I'm stiff. Oh, it's because I'm getting older. Never mind. Let me see if I can hack that somehow. It's just the assumption of, oh, I'm getting older. It must be me. And it's just like,
It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the doctor, I mean, that saying I must be getting older. But what really frustrates me when I go to my doctor is, oh, just lose some weight. Okay, I'm not saying that's invalid, but is that the answer for everything? We don't think there's anything else going on here?
Well, it's like that whole, and I am now completely blanking, but it was someone trying to be all zen or whatever, who was saying that the answer was simple, and whatever he said was really simple, and the person responded, oh, you make it sound so easy, and he's like, I said simple, not easy, and I'm like, that's fun to say when you're the person saying it, but when you're the person hearing it, it's like, that's not helpful in the slightest. What do I do with that?
Right. Yeah. Gee, thanks for that. That's great.
So biohacking is, depending on what you're trying to fix, whether it's sleeping or weight loss, or if you think you might have a food allergy, or just finding these sort of exercise form for you.
Food allergies where it makes the most sense because you really have to try, you know, eliminate everything and then start adding things back in. That's where the experimental part makes sense to me.
But for food allergies, the results are sort of also just clearer.
Right.
Like I had that once where I'm not allergic to anything really, but once I randomly just had hives out of nowhere or something, and we couldn't figure out what it was, so they're like, okay, stop eating, I think it was cheese or something, and they thought it might be cheese, and so I stopped eating cheese and the hives went away, and they're like, okay, try eating cheese again, and I ate cheese again and the hives didn't come back, and it's like, well, we don't know what it was, but it's gone now. And I was like, what? That's it?
They never came back?
No, they didn't. But it was just like, but yeah, for food allergies, because that response is usually so, you know, out there and or life threatening, that's much easier to see, aha,
right,
this works or didn't work, or try something else. But if it's like, oh, what exercise form works for me, sounds like it might be a little more
nebulous. I mean, because I feel like a lot of things work initially, and then as your body sort of gets used to them, you know, and you're not using your muscles in different ways, sometimes that can plateau.
Right. Yeah. Or yeah, I mean, what if that's the case, that it's not even this exercise form is not working, but just I got used to it, and then see, this all sounds so complicated.
Stacey's given up. She's done. She's done. Just thinking about it. Nope.
I really am. Like, and this is just my personality. Like, even when I did, I don't even know, was it algebra, geometry, algebra 2, whatever stupid part of math where you had to do guess and checks before they actually taught you the formula. Ew. Hated that. hated that. I was like, wait, seriously? So I know I'm trying to get, and I have to go through this whole thing and make this chart and go, there's got to be a simpler way. Like, we have calculators. Why was this so complicated? In the same way I didn't like proofs, because I was like, it's already been proven like thousands of years ago. Why do I have to do this over?
Oh, I hated proofs.
Why isn't there just give me the answer? Yeah. Is this not what, along with flying cars, I was promised in the 21st century was just the answer to everything? I feel cheated, society and math teachers.
I think you're going to get the flying car before you get the answer to everything.
Well,
unless you go with 42, but that's a literary reference, not a health and wellness reference.
Yes. So on that, we're going to take a short break while I go and see if 42 solves my flying car problem. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. Today we're talking about biohacking, the not physically hacking version. Although, to be fair, there are also physical biohacking. This is where things start getting complicated.
Okay.
So there's a number of different, I'm going to go with subcultures, that use the term biohacking, and it just has not yet officially been settled to one thing or another.
Okay.
So there are some biohackers who just do the whole health and wellness guess and check thing of trying new things and work, see what works for them. Mm-hmm. And then there are other biohackers who do what sounds like essentially regular biology, but not in a lab, but what biology was in like the 1700s.
Okay.
Of just going to someone who knows it and learning from them and then doing it on your own.
Right.
And then there are people who, like, put electric stuff under their, essentially trying to become cyborgs.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I see in the notes just the phrase implanted devices. And I think, okay, when did this become the sci-fi podcast?
Well, and I'm amazed at those people because they're doing it on their own because the FDA really does not approve of this unless it's, like, you know, in clinical trials done by really big companies who have the insurance to back this up in case something goes wrong.
Right.
But to get past that, it's sort of a loophole that you can kind of do things to yourself. So they do them to their self. So you see these people with like glowing things under their arm. And I'm just like, what? You cut into your own skin? Are you kidding? Oh, no. What?
You know? Yeah. Again, it's very science fiction-y.
Yeah. So that's called grinder biohacking. And it's
scary?
It definitely scares me, but it clearly doesn't scare them. They're just like, let's go for it. This is the future. And I mean, you do see that now with talks of like humanism and moving past humanism and that, you know, we're all going to be androids and or killed by AI as a Sarah thing. That this is where the future is. And I'm just going to be ahead of the game by experimenting on myself and or by creating the product in my own body. And then I can sell it and make it for millions because that's, isn't that what we're all trying to do is find the new $1 billion whatever company here?
Maybe, but I'm really not willing to experiment on myself or even others, frankly. I'm not gonna, I don't want to cut into my own self, and frankly, Stacey, I don't want to cut into you.
I wouldn't want to do it to myself, but I do remember reading a graphic novel series that was set in the future where you could get like an android who looked totally human, and so there was all the philosophical things about that where they had these sort of implants around their temples that worked as like smartphones. So without saying anything, you could just think, like, call grandma or whatever and call and have a conversation without opening your mouth.
What if you were thinking, oh man, I need to call my grandma, and then it just
I think you have to say it in a proper tone, the way you talk now with Alexa or Siri or Google Assistant or whatever. That you can't just think, oh, maybe I should call my grandma Well, do you actually? I do not use those, so I wouldn't know. But I don't think you could just say, oh, I need to call my grandmother in the room. Alexa will be like dialing grandma right now.
Right. I've never used it either.
Maybe. I don't. Yeah, but now that it's in your thought process, we're off topic.
We are. which is not unusual.
I apologize. But yeah, this idea of computer things in the body, I'm not too upset about putting computer things in my own body. No. No. But there are also people.
I'm starting to feel a little guilty for chipping my dogs. Since we're talking about it.
Yeah.
At least that was done by a licensed professional who
right.
I was trusting with that. I didn't just do it myself. Hey, come here, little doggies.
SPCA, I'm sure, would prefer you not. But there are also people who will inject themselves with things.
I've been doing that forever.
Well, but like, if they're trying on their own to create a cure for something without going through all the required clinical testing, are like, let me just inject myself with this thing. And I'm like, save for the like contagion situation in which we have a worldwide outbreak and we don't have the literal time for a clinical trial because people are dying every moment. Why wouldn't you do clinical trials? Just like, I don't even understand the people who volunteer for clinical trials, you know,
right?
When a drug is being tested, like, and it's like, yeah, you have to sign liability and this might lead to death. I'm like, nope, I will wait till you've done all that testing to see what kills people, and then I'll take the drug that you've gotten after that.
So you're fine with somebody else, just you're not gonna sign up. Okay,
unless the only way I do it is if I like had a thing that was gonna kill me anyways, like cancer that didn't have a cure.
Mm-hmm.
Then fine, I'd sign up for that because hey, maybe my death can benefit somebody else. But if it's for like a drug to solve a problem that I can live with otherwise?
No. Okay.
Just, no, you're, yeah. My ability to allow myself to be experimented on has strange boundaries.
What I'm hoping is that these are folks who have at least some knowledge, done some studying, because when we're talking about it, I just feel like it's Joe Schmo off the street who says, huh, I wonder if I could extract my own stem cells and use them for, like, I that seems crazy no matter how you slice it, but I hope it's Dr. Joe Schmo or somebody who has some kind of degree or some kind of experience, some kind of knowledge, and it's not just this wild harebrained idea they wake up with one morning.
I'm sure it's a bit of both. Because there are sort of a bunch of different startup companies trying to become the next, I actually don't know pharmaceutical company names. So enter pharmaceutical company name here with, you know, cures or vaccines for things we don't yet have cures or vaccines for. And so the people at those companies do seem to have some sort of degree. But then the person who's, you know, maybe doing this on their own, not so much.
Right.
Although the FDA has issued a warning, a stern warning.
A stern warning, because it doesn't work so well.
You know, it can't just be a regular warning. It has to be stern.
With some finger shaking.
Right, I was just going to say that. A stern warning to biohackers that undertaking do-it-yourself gene therapy is ill-advised and
just
risky.
Just the phrase, do-it-yourself gene therapy.
Yeah, kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
It is ill-advised and risky, and that selling the supplies to do so is blatantly against the law.
Okay.
And there actually was a biohacker who died recently. His name was Aaron Trawick, and he was only like 28, I think.
Okay. What did he do? Do I even want to know?
Well, it's not clear that his biohacking had to do with his death, but you can't rule it out either, because if you're biohacking, who knows what you're doing?
Right.
He was, amongst other things, at some conference, he, like, pulled down his pants and injected himself with what he supposedly called a cure for herpes.
Oh, my God.
Which, again, injecting myself, no.
But just, I mean, that's dramatic. That'll get some people's attention.
And that's probably why his death got a lot of attention. He was in a sensory deprivation tank and was found dead. And they're still not sure how he died or why he died. But it did, of course, bring up this whole issue again of the DIY biohackers who are injecting themselves with I am almost much calmer about the, like, putting computer chips under my skin than injecting myself with things.
Right. This is so very sci-fi, Twilight Zone, Black Mirror, all kinds of things.
Entire sci-fi horror film there.
Like, yeah.
Just, yeah. So not recommended that you do that sort of biohacking. But if you do happen to look up biohacking, you know, while listening to this podcast or after listening to this podcast, just be forewarned that a good number of what may come up in your search browser has to do with that. I actually had a hard time. Like, the first one I found when I was looking up this topic was the sort of guess and check health and wellness biohacking. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of what led me to it to begin with. So that wasn't surprising. But then when I simply typed in biohacking, so much of it was the let me inject myself with enter thing here. I was like, what? Wait. I didn't read that in the one that was like checking to see if you have a food allergy. Right, where did it say? I missed a paragraph or something. Just how did we get
it, but here? Yeah, it's different from, I think I might have a food allergy. You know what? I'm going to give up gluten for a month and see if I notice any differences between I think I have X, Y, or Z. I'm going to inject myself with whatever it is and see if it helps.
I mean, if nothing else, you would think, isn't this, you know, how we got like half of our superheroes? Like the Hulk and that Dr. Octopus guy from Spider-Man, and just isn't that also just, you know,
right, not a superhero but
Spider-Man,
the
even
Fly, you just, know that yeah. guy didn't, that stuff did not go well for him.
So what we're saying is learn from superheroes and don't do that.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So we're gonna take another short break and come back with some tips on how to do the health and wellness biohacking that does not involve injecting and or implanting things in your body.
Woohoo!
So stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where we are talking about biohacking and the healthy, less mad scientist way to do it. So at just the most general, biohacking is sort of trying to make healthier choices, seeing if those work, tweaking a bit, rinse and repeat.
Right.
I mean, the rinsing, maybe not, but
depends on what you're doing.
Well,
yeah.
What would you be doing that you would rinse? A mud bath, maybe?
Maybe. But really, it never hurts to shower. So unless your experiment involves not showering.
Maybe you're trying to build up your immune system.
Interesting.
We're now trying to figure out ways to biohack without showering. We've gotten amazingly off topic and yet on topic.
And yet on topic.
Our amazing side topics.
We I are biohacking them. This episode by trying things and then, no, rejecting. Reject, move on.
Pod hacking. We're pod hacking.
Pod hacking.
So this can do things like eating a more balanced diet. There's a thing a lot of health and wellness biohackers are doing right now called bulletproof coffee.
I've heard of that, yes. It's very interesting sounding.
It sounds kind of
gross
to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm super picky, period. So like regular coffee is gross to me. I I have to have the sugared flavored thing or I can't. But that comes, I believe, from the person who created the Bulletproof Diet, mm-hmm. hence the name. But Bulletproof coffee is coffee with either butter mm-hmm. or coconut oil in it, mm-hmm. because the idea is
good fats,
right? Something, and I mean, they do actually do that in Tibet. They have a thing called butter tea, mm-hmm. or something like that, which I had to look up because I was like, that can't just be tea made out of butter, right? I must just, the name must be throwing me off. It's tea with butter, not made solely out of butter, but with butter, because in Tibet they're, you know, in high altitude places, so those fats are really useful for them.
I know someone who was doing gastric bypass surgery, and they watched a whole lot of videos of people who had it, who had done it before, and you know, all of their kind of post videos and what they were eating and how things were going, and a lot of them talked about Bulletproof coffee, and that's where I learned about it. And I mean, it makes sense, because if you want your morning fix of caffeine, right. then you're still getting protein and you're still getting those things, but it does sound weird, but I haven't tried it, so I really shouldn't.
But I mean, when did this happen? Because I only even heard of the Bulletproof Diet like earlier this year.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm clearly behind the times on biohacking.
It's been a while, I think, but it doesn't. I don't know when, really.
I'm behind the times.
It's okay.
I'm mentally old or something. I don't know. Anyways, moving on. But they suggest, especially the gentleman who did the Bulletproof Diet, whose name I'm totally breaking on, but I think it's Dave something. Dave something.
Hi, Dave. I shall look it up while we chat.
Thank you. Suggests approaching your symptoms like a scientist, sort of keeping detailed notes and not just going at it willy-nilly, but really paying attention and saying, I did this and this resulted, so this must be the thing. I did this and that didn't happen, so maybe it's not this.
Right.
I don't think I was even that scientific, even in science.
Nice. But some people really like lists and doing things that right. way, so that would work. You were correct about Dave. His name is Dave Asprey.
Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
But yeah, just paying attention to your body, but also trying to figure out the why. That, mm-hmm. So along with not just going about willy-nilly because I don't know, you know, what I did last time, so I'll try this. Also trying to think of the sort of reasons behind it and not predicting the effects, but in that same scientific way of thinking, if I add this, I kind of expect such and such a thing to happen. Mm-hmm. Can you tell I did not like chemistry?
Right, but you have a hypothesis and then you test your hypothesis.
The scientific method was like the only thing I liked in high school science was the scientific method.
Okay.
And but that some of the best ways to biohack your body via nutrition, to kick your sugar habit, that one I really do want to try, but I also don't expect to try anytime soon because I have a terrible sweet tooth.
I know, and
again,
sugar
coffee
is super addictive.
It is. Isn't it like more addictive than heroin?
I've heard that. I have not. I don't know. It sounds true. It could be true. I mean, it is hard to kick.
Yeah, I may be
not that I've ever tried heroin, so I don't know how. You know, I can't compare it to my sugar addiction.
Okay. Not going to touch that. But to try and kick your sugar addiction, to do the more healthy fats, it's the Bulletproof coffee elimination diet if you feel you've got a food allergy. But again, and we talked about this on a previous episode, unless you have a food allergy, things that sort of directly address those, like a gluten-free diet, mm-hmm. are not actually necessary unless you actually have like a gluten allergy.
Right.
So don't, just because you know whatever worked for so-and-so down the street and they lost a whole bunch of weight does not mean it's going to work for you.
Exactly.
To especially keep that in mind that, you know, people are individuals and that's why you have to approach this as a scientist and can't just take
everybody's body is different.
Anyone's word for it. You have to sort of think of it. This is how my body responded, even though my husband did the same thing and his body responded differently.
Right.
Because bodies are stupid.
Well, and, you know, men's and women's bodies are different. There's all kinds of factors that go into that.
Right.
Yeah.
But other biohacks would be drinking a lot of water. I did have a goal for that, and I can't remember now what it was. It was either to drink a full glass of water before a meal, every meal, or I've seen people who do that whole putting lines on a jug thing mm-hmm. to make sure they're drinking enough per day, so the water should be down a certain amount per hour.
Right.
I don't know that I could do that because I would totally forget for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then have to like chug a whole bunch of water.
I just keep track, and I tend to drink between a half and a gallon a day, depending on what I'm doing. So I don't worry too much about my intake, but I also don't, I don't have lines on a jug. Let's just put it that way. Okay. You know?
There's other things like investing in an air purifier. I had a roommate who had one of these, and she swore that like the air was much better with it, but I couldn't tell a difference. So again, different. I wanted to make a pun, but I can't. Getting outside more, which is sort of the opposite of an air purifier. But if you're feeling sort of lethargic, I do know that's helped some people who were just like, I have no energy whatsoever. I'm just going to go outside every day at lunch. And because of the sun rays and energy and vitamin D and all that, they felt more energetic. Mm-hmm. Strangely, in the afternoon also, when I was like, I would kill for a nap.
Right.
But you're like, okay, cool, let's get back to it. I was like, go away. Did not work for me, so especially go away.
Although, you know, maybe we should do an episode on siestas. That's something that we endorse in this country, but that are, yes, you know, very beneficial in a lot of ways.
We need a cultural change. Make that a law. Make that a law. Except, of course, it doesn't work for everybody else, so I shouldn't say that, but can we please make that a law? Oh, I miss snapping.
You should run for office and make that part of your platform.
No. I miss napping, but not that enough to run for office.
Well, yeah, there's that.
That whole process. I'd want to take like a year-long nap after that process. That's defeating the purpose.
Right.
But yeah, just trying different things for your body and keeping track so that you know what the effect is. And that can be kind of hard because the body is complicated. There are certain people who are like, you can't possibly do this because your body has way too many complex systems that even now with our modern medicine, we still don't fully understand. Like, I remember seeing something where they were talking about some new drug and how we don't understand it, but that's okay because we evidently don't even understand how aspirin works in the body. Hmm. And we've been using aspirin for like ever. It's just like, oh, we don't quite know, but it works, so continue. That sounds terrifying when you say it that way.
It does, but I feel like we probably do that a lot with a lot of things in life.
Right.
So, I mean, we don't even know what keeps helicopters up.
We don't?
Physically, they shouldn't work. I mean, with the laws of physics, they shouldn't work. They should just plummet, but they stay up, so.
Well, now that I know that, I'm a bit more terrified of helicopters.
I've never been in a helicopter, so I don't.
Me neither, but I see them, and that's also off topic. But yeah, just to recognize that this might be a long process, which is why it makes me sigh, because it may at first seem, aha, yes, what was bothering me was this small, simple thing. So if I get rid of it or change it, and then it was great, but then the problem later comes back, so then it's like, so wait, it wasn't that thing, and now I've got to go through this process all over. And to sort of see it almost as a, I don't know, what would you say, like a life process?
Yeah.
Go through your life biohacking everything?
Just sure.
Part of a life hack.
You don't even have to think about it as biohacking. Just go through your life observing and noticing and kind of paying attention to your body and seeing what works and what doesn't.
Go through your life scientifically with the scientific method.
There you go.
That's what all my science teachers would tell me. Not really, but I'm sure they'd all agree with that. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.